Hare Krishna. So today we'll be discussing something from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 10, Text 13. Chapter 10 is titled as Departure of Lord Krishna for Dwarka. Departure of Lord Krishna for Dwarka. So text 13 is as follows. Sarve te nimishai rakshais,
Sarve te nimishai rakshais,
tam anu druta
chetasa,
vikshanta sneha sambandha, vichelus tatra tatraha. Sarve, all,
they,
animishay,
without
twinkling
of the eyes,
akshay, by the eye, tam anu, after him, druta chetasa, melted heart, vikshanta,
looking upon him,
sneha sambaddha,
bound by
pure affection,
Vichelu
began to move,
tatra
tatra,
here and there,
so they did.
Translation
by Srila Prabhupada. All their hearts were melting for him. All their hearts were melting for him on the pot of attraction. All their hearts were melting for him on the pot of attraction. They looked at him without blinking their eyes. They looked at him without blinking their eyes, and they moved hither and thither in perplexity. All their hearts were melting for him on the pot of attraction. They looked at him without blinking their eyes, and they moved hither and thither in perplexity. Purport. Krishna is naturally attractive for all living beings because he is the chief eternal amongst all eternals. He alone is the maintainer of the many eternals. So what makes Krishna attractive? His feature of what else? Just now we read. It's just a wake up call. I'll read again. Please listen carefully. Krishna is naturally attractive for all living beings because he is the chief eternal amongst all eternals. So his, what is attractive feature about him? His eternality. He alone is the maintainer of many eternals. Not only is he eternal, but whoever comes out of him is also eternal, and he is the maintainer of all those people who are eternal, eternally. This is stated in the Katha Upanishad, and thus one can obtain permanent peace and prosperity by revival of one's eternal relationship with him. Now forgotten under the spell of Maya, the illusory energy of the Lord. Once this relation is slightly revived, the conditioned soul at once becomes freed from the illusion of material energy and becomes mad after the association of the Lord. Once this relation is slightly revived, the conditioned soul at once becomes free from the illusion of material energy and becomes mad after the association of the Lord. This association is made possible not only by personal contact with the Lord. This association is made possible not only by personal contact with the Lord, but also by association with his name, fame, form, and quality. So one doesn't have to directly meet Krishna in that sense. One can associate directly with him, even by his name, fame, form and quality. Srimad Bhagavatam trains the conditioned soul. Srimad Bhagavatam trains the conditioned soul to this stage of perfection by submissive hearing from the pure devotee. Srimad Bhagavatam trains the conditioned soul to the stage of perfection by submissive hearing from the pure devotee.
Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukham Garoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatripatam Mahamvande Sri Guru Dinatarinam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Krithya Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudhiraye Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke
All their hearts were melting for him on the pot of attraction. They looked at him without blinking their eyes and they moved hither and thither in perplexity. So, as I mentioned before, this chapter is titled as Departure of Lord Krishna for Dwaraka. So the battle of Kurukshetra is over. Maharaja Yudhishthira has been crowned as the king of Hastinapur. Coronation has happened. All pleasantries have been exchanged after that. Maharaja Yudhishthira is ruling the kingdom very nicely. In the IT line, immediately after a project is completed, we call it as hypercare for the first 4 weeks, right? So when a project is completed, the teething problems in the project come up in the first 4 weeks, like that. So there has to be special care for the project. Like that here, the project of putting Maharaja Yudhishthira on the throne has been completed, but Lord Krishna is staying back for some more time. Of course, Maharaja Yudhishthira also insisted if you stay back, for the first few months at least, or few weeks, like that. So Lord Krishna has stayed back. Maharaja Yudhishthira has received instructions on Varnashrama Dharma from Bhishma. Based on that, he is ruling a perfect kingdom. And the perfection of the kingdom has been mentioned in the few verses before this, how he ruled. And now, since the kingdom is fairly stable, Lord Krishna is taking permission that now I take permission from you and let me depart. That the mood of the departure of Lord Krishna from the Pandavas and the other devotees there is captured here. In fact, 2 verses back, I read that even Dhritarashtra was crying. I missed that lecture, but no, whoever took that class in that verse, when he said Dhritarashtra was also upset when Lord Krishna was leaving, I couldn't understand why Dhritarashtra was upset. But Lord Krishna is so attractive, that person who are inimical to his instructions are also attracted to him. So, that's an understanding. So, Lord Krishna is leaving now, and it is mentioned that all the hearts of the people were melting on the platform of attraction. And that is the theme of today's class. What is attraction? And why? How should the soul develop attraction to Lord Krishna? So, let's take an example. Many times, even in the student programs or in the Bhakti Vriksha programs, we keep encouraging people, come to the temple, at least once a week, don't mind the trouble, etc., etc. So there are a lot of motivational speaking that one needs to do to get people to come to the temple. However, let's say we put up a notice outside the temple or on the website saying that we wanted to inform all our patrons of the Hare Krishna temple that Sachin Tendulkar and Tom Cruise are coming to the temple in the morning Bhagavatam class. So, immediately there is some sense of happiness. Even if we are a practicing devotee, there is some sense of expectation which is there. Something is there. Maja aayega. We will go to the temple. And the attendance is most likely to be probably 3 or 4 times that of Janmashtami. Peak attendance. Right? Janmashtami, 10 o'clock crowd. Attendance can be at least 3 to 4 times that, which is assured. There will be no place in this hall. Right? That is the attraction for such personalities in the material world. Now when they come inside also, let us say, Sachin Tendulkar is sitting on this side and Tom Cruise is sitting on somewhere over here. And this lecture is going on. Now everyone has come for Krishna Katha, there is no doubt to hear Krishna Katha. But ask yourself, will your eyes not move there to see what he is doing? Okay. So Sachin Tendulkar is looking at the deities now. I think he's specially looking at Jagannath, looks like he's... Sachin Tendulkar is a great Indian cricketer, by the way, for the people who don't know him. He has got a demigod status in India. People actually call him God. He said Sachin is God. You will see in the Times of India news. So, he is a household name. So, if he comes and sits here, everyone is going to see, Tendulkar, he did this. He coughed. Looks like the Melbourne weather is not suiting him. He had a white handkerchief. Such a careful observation of what he is doing. Every move. He smiled when the speaker told something. Now he is sleeping. So everything is being observed. Nobody else will sleep in the class. That is definitely there. Right? Now, everyone understands the tattva that the speaker, actually the goal of life is Krishna consciousness. We must be very serious. Human life is meant for self-realization. So, all this is maya. But still the eyes move there. Right? That attraction is still there. At least we want to know how he felt after the class. So this is the attraction for these kind of personalities. Even when we know that the speaker is, the speaker is the person who is following 4 regulative principles, or the speaker is the person who is chanting 16 rounds, the speaker is speaking from Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, still the attraction is somewhere else. So that is the power of attraction. The question then comes, what makes a person so attractive? What makes this person? What makes Tom Cruise attractive? Nobody has any opinion? Nobody likes Tom Cruise?
Who is Tom Cruise?
Very good. I haven't explained to this side. Tom Cruise is probably the most famous Hollywood star. Every day he is in the news for marrying a different lady. And he started something called as Scientology on top of that. Okay. So
He is also attracting. Whatever nonsense he talks also is very attractive. So, Tom Cruise is attractive because of his looks and his skills in acting. Sachin Tendulkar is attractive because of his, not more because of his looks, but because of his skills in batting. He is the greatest batsman in world cricket, like that. Okay. Compared to Sir Don Bradman, like that. So, now you understood who is Sachin Tendulkar? Okay. Alright. So, what makes people attractive is that they are adept at a particular skill. Now, that skill, we have to understand, is an energy which that person possesses. And that energy in that person makes that person very attractive. Now, before cricket, nobody knew who this person was. Now, nobody knew Tom Cruise when he was born. Hey, Tom Cruise has born, Tom Cruise, let's go to the office. No, nobody. No. When you saw young Tom, nobody would have been very attracted to him. Right? But it's only after the person started displaying his energies, then the attraction towards those energies brought about attraction towards the personality who possesses those energies. So, to the extent a person possesses a particular energy, to that extent that person becomes attractive. And that's what makes a person attractive. So, that is the main principle. Energy makes one attractive. Now, Srila Prabhupada used to mention that the downfall of India as a country, Bharatavarsh as a country, has happened because people have lost contact with the knowledge of Lord Krishna's energies. That's the biggest problem. Nobody has any idea about the Lord's energies because no one has time to read Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. In India, Bhagavad Gita is only used in the movies, in the Bollywood movies, towards the end, you know. The criminal is standing in that court scene. There's always a court scene in Indian movies towards the end. I don't know nowadays what happened because I've stopped watching. Okay, but there's a court scene and then they say, no, put your hand on the Bhagavad Gita and say that whatever I say is the truth. I shall not lie. And even the hardcore criminal is saying that, no, I didn't do the crime, and he's swearing on the Bhagavad Gita. And it became a ritual like that, just touching the Bhagavad Gita. So, of course, it's okay if it is a Mayavadi Bhagavad Gita. Anyway, it's a useless piece of work. So, but if it's a genuine Bhagavad Gita, there is a problem there. So, people don't have any understanding of what is Bhagavad Gita beyond this. So, Srila Prabhupada said that because of this, a country which had Vedic culture is now gone into gross materialism. People are unaware of Krishna's energies. Unaware of Krishna's energy, but people are aware of the energies of mundane personalities, like, you know, these sportsmen or these film stars. Therefore, someone who can play some game very well, right, or someone who can sing very well, someone who can dance very well, these kind of personalities are glorified because people are completely engaged in witnessing, hearing about, and appreciating their energies. And once we develop attraction for such personalities, then automatically what do we want to do? We want to try and emulate these personalities. Okay? If a person can put the goggles like this, he'll start flipping the goggles and putting it like this. Okay? That is a power. There is a South Indian star who flips the goggles like this and puts it like this. Okay? So this is the power. So when you see that person on the screen, and then you also want to do like that and behave like that. So it sets behavioral patterns in society. Now, Srila Prabhupada was very expert at behavioral patterns. Once, Bhavananda Prabhu was driving Srila Prabhupada in the lanes of Calcutta. And one can imagine what is the traffic in Calcutta. It's worse than Bombay, I heard. Okay. So, when you go through Calcutta, in India, you know, the regulations are not so strict like Australia. You know, it's okay if the horn doesn't work. And chalta hai, everything runs. Okay. So, Bhavananda Prabhu was sitting and somebody was driving, Prabhupada was also in the car. The horn stopped working. And in India you can't drive without a horn. Right? Here you should not drive with a horn. There you cannot drive without a horn. Okay. So, you know, people are going pa, and then suddenly, you know, the horn is not working. Then the driver got panicked. He said, how am I going to drive? The horn is not working. So Srila Prabhupada saw that, you know, they were under stress. So Prabhupada said, don't worry about it. So he told Bhavananda Prabhu they had that instrument, what do you call that? The gong. Ting, 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 ting. So Srila Prabhupada said, okay, Prabhupada was sitting in front. He said, don't worry, give me that gong and I'll
outside the window. Every time you want to horn, tell me and I'll start. Ding, 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 ding. So Prabhupada started sounding that gong. Okay. And then Srila Prabhupada looked at them and told them, now we have reached the temple. Don't be surprised if tomorrow that becomes a norm here. Because Bhavananda, they have seen you in the car. Anything which the Westerners do, the Indians will imitate. That becomes the norm in the society. So Srila Prabhupada knew how to channelize everything, look at everything in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada realized this power, this attraction that Bharatvarsh has got for emulating the West. So therefore, he focused all his energies in making Krishna attractive to the Western man. So that then Krishna becomes attractive to the Indian man. Okay. Otherwise, people are usually not very interested. In India, cricket is a craze. So anything done in the theme of cricket sells. Right? Devamrita Swami also did a session, Cricket and Krishna Consciousness in Chowpatty. Record crowd was there. Record crowd. Right? So, there was one devotee in Vrindavan who used to lecture. And this is a real incident. This Prabhuji, he used to lecture Bhagavatam class, but he found that the attendance was depleting day by day. So one day he said that I am going to give class on the theme of cricket. Please come. On that day, attendance was much more than average. Right? So people came and he started saying that Krishna consciousness is like cricket. Krishna is like a pace bowler, fast bowler. Okay. So he kills the demon speedily, like that. He attacks the demon with electric speed. Balram is a spin bowler, because Balram takes that Denukasura and then he spins and then throws, like that. And he says, like the demons, each asura is like a batsman. They get out one by one. And then he says that Kamsa is like the umpire, who is outing one, out, out, next. And then, after that, when everyone had woken up from their slumber, then the lecture started. Today, let us discuss Krishna consciousness. So, that is the attraction. So, what makes this person attractive is energies demonstrated by the person. Now, who becomes attracted to these personalities? Who becomes attracted? Is everyone attracted to Sachin Tendulkar? Is everyone attracted to Tom Cruise? No. For example, let's say we bring, you know, some 10 cannibals from the jungles of Congo, somewhere, and then we tell them, oh, Tendulkar has come. Now, how do you think that they'll perceive Tendulkar? They'll perceive him as a bulky, nice, good muscles, and they'll say, oh, good, nice dinner we can have, we can eat him. So, they have completely different perception about the same person, right? Why? Because they have no knowledge of his energies. They see him from their own lens. And their admiration for this person is from that lens. Or, if we bring some other devotee, let's say some other person, let's say the kayaking champion of Mongolia, let's say that person is coming and sitting here. Or if for the Indians, let's say the US baseball champion, if he comes and sits here, the Indians community is not going to get very attracted because they have limited knowledge of baseball. At best, somebody will say, oh, some new Prabhuji has come. Look, is he a new devotee? Like, no. Like that, okay? So, there is no understanding of who that personality is because there is no understanding and appreciation of the sport and the pastime that he is associated with. Therefore, even though you see that personality, it doesn't ring a bell anywhere. So, to become attracted to someone, it is very important to have knowledge of the potency of that person. That is very important. And to the extent we develop that knowledge, then person becomes attracted. Now, I remember that when we used to study at school, what was our major hindrance to our studies? Cricket match. Especially, when India is playing Pakistan, then it's a very different thing. Then it doesn't matter whether you fail in physics tomorrow. Doesn't matter. But India should win. So everyone is sitting in front of the television set and usually the parents are always hammer and tongs with the children, right? They say that, okay, come on, take your books and study and switch off the TV set. So, one devotee was mentioning that he had this problem and he couldn't give up his attraction for cricket. So what he decided was that, look, my mother
this old lady. She is not somehow getting attraction to this game. So let me do one thing. Let me sit and explain what this game actually is to her. Okay. And let me give her a nice knowledge transition on this game and develop her higher taste for this game. Okay. And then she can sit and also enjoy this game. So at least you will not tell me don't see. So that is an approach which some people can take. So it is said that the speaker said that within 1 month his mother became an addict of cricket because full knowledge was given to her and then she was able to appreciate, oh, this is cover drive. Oh, okay, very good. Right. So knowledge given about that subject matter develops an appreciation for that subject. Therefore, if someone displays in this world someone displaying some energy for some period of time, he becomes very attractive. If you see most of these film stars or sportsmen, they are at their peak maximum for 10 to 15 years. That too legends. You know, there are many players who are, you know, one day wonders. But you know, 10 to 15 years they are at their peak, whether in any profession like that. And then everything is taken away from them by the power of time. But because they have already demonstrated their skills, even when they are not actively practicing or demonstrating those skills today, still the impact of those energies and potencies is long lasting. Even by chance, if we forget their potencies, advertisements will remind us. So that's why if you find the sports personalities, once their time is over, they'll come for a Milo advertisement, you know. This is the secret of my energy and whatever, you know. They'll come and advertise all these things. So through ads, we are constantly reminded of the energies that these people had. Like that. And even if we miss these ads, society also capitalizes on their energies. For example, I heard that this Elvis Presley, he was a great personality, right? Very famous personality. His handkerchief was sold for $500,000. $500,000 for one handkerchief. Most expensive handkerchief in the world, right? Right. So, for $500,000 you can pay your mortgage and live comfortably, you know, after that, chanting Harinam. This is the Sotheby's auction. $500,000. American dollars. So, such events remind us of the energies which that person possessed. A paraphernalia which is associated with that person. So, we are speaking of people who can display some limited energy for some period of time, after which again it fades. But what to speak of someone whose potencies are unlimited? There is no limit. Unlimited energies. And for unlimited period of time. So that is the verse here. Let's look back at the first line. Krishna is naturally attractive for all living beings because he is the chief eternal amongst all eternals. A person who is attractive eternally and infinitely attractive. What to speak of him? However, we don't find him so attractive even after hearing because we have not developed adequate knowledge of his energies. So, sometimes we hear here and there. Now, on top of that, we have Mayavadi's menace in society. Mayavadis say that Krishna does not have any energy. It is Maya which is energetic and Krishna comes in contact with Maya and demonstrates certain things. That is why it's called as Mayavadi. Because therefore Maya is better, is higher than Krishna. This is the basic premise of the Mayavadi philosophy. So therefore, Mayavadis themselves therefore don't feel any attraction for Krishna. Because they think his energies are but a demonstration of the power of Maya. So therefore, if you can imagine, Elvis Presley is nothing without his singing. Sachin Tendulkar is nothing without his cricket. So without their energies, the personality ceases to have any meaning and admiration in our lives. So Srila Prabhupada, in his purports, has emphasized that unless Lord Krishna's transcendental energies are understood, one cannot feel attraction for Lord Krishna at all. For example, few years back,
in Srila Prabhupada's pastime, two ladies came to meet him. And these ladies came and after the lecture they told Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, we have been meditating for 20 years, they told Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada asked them, okay, what have you achieved in that meditation? They said, we have achieved the ability to become silent. So Srila Prabhupada told them, even stones are silent. So what is the great ability that you people have got by meditating for 20 years just to become silent? Normally, you know, you will find that anybody who is married for 20 years also becomes silent. At least the husband. There's nothing great about it. Sorry, I didn't mean anything. So there is nothing, there is no great value in the power of being silent. So real meditation must be on the energies of the Lord. And meditation, the goal must be attaining the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Dhyana avastita tad gatena manasa pashyanti yam yogino. The goal of all meditation is that supreme absolute truth. Otherwise there is no point. And we have to approach the Lord. The only way of developing attraction for the Lord is by understanding His energies. That is very important. So, any acharya, any spiritual leader who comes, questions towards him have to be directed in terms of understanding the Lord's energies. So that's an opportunity. Bhavad Vida Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vibho Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani Svantasthena Kadaprata. Which means that devotees are verily holy places of pilgrimage personified. So whenever they come, it's an excellent opportunity for us to hear from them and use that opportunity to increase our attraction for Lord Krishna. Srila Prabhupada was once lecturing in Harvard, MIT. And then somebody, obviously the best students are there in that university, but some over-smart student was there and he asked Srila Prabhupada during the lecture. He asked him, excuse me, what is that mark on your forehead which you are wearing? Srila Prabhupada was not very pleased with that question. So immediately Prabhupada retorted, what is that necktie you are wearing around your neck? And Srila Prabhupada said, when a sadhu comes, it's not the time to ask him frivolous questions like this. The intent, the sadhu, when he comes, one must inquire about Lord Krishna and his opulences. Now, in order to establish these opulences of Lord Krishna, Srila Prabhupada established opulent festivals in the Hare Krishna movement. For example, the Rath Yatra, one of the most opulent festivals. Even the same, the council here, Bhakta Prabhu tells us, the council has developed a lot of attraction for that festival. So that's the way Srila Prabhupada wanted Krishna to be presented to the whole world with a lot of opulence. Srila Prabhupada was approached by someone and asked, why large carts for Rath Yatra? So Srila Prabhupada said, big man means big cart. So a common person sees this kind of opulence and therefore he develops a inquisitiveness to understand who is the enjoyer behind all this opulence, and therefore he develops some kind of a reverential attitude towards that person who is receiving all this attention and opulence. And by that regular association of that person, he is wondering, why are so many people attracted to him? Let me go and ask these people, what's so great about this personality? And that's how, through association, that attraction develops. But first thing is, one has to understand this opulence of Lord Krishna and the energies of Lord Krishna. And through the books of Srila Prabhupada also, Srila Prabhupada constantly is highlighting the energies of Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna is the origin of all energies and human beings. So all this information is given in Srila Prabhupada's books, and one cannot have any excuse for being ignorant about the energies of Lord Krishna, because he has translated that in the English language, which everyone, most of mankind understands. So once Srila Prabhupada was asked, who is the origin of Lord Krishna? Now despite writing these books, then somebody is asking, who is the origin of Lord Krishna? So he said, Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. Clearly Prabhupada is praying. Still that person is asking, who is the origin of Lord Krishna? So Srila Prabhupada said, look, we refer the scriptures and derive our information. Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. That Lord Krishna is the supreme father, he is the cause of all causes. But if you have someone who you think and you have found out is better than him, then you let us know. At that time we will worship that person. But till that time you worship Krishna. That was Srila Prabhupada's answer. So the greatness of the Lord cannot be understood unless we learn about it from a bona fide devotee like Srila Prabhupada. Else, simply seeing the Lord, one cannot understand His glory. Simply seeing the Lord, one cannot. Even Lord Brahma is bewildered by simply seeing the Lord, he cannot understand. Eventually some realization has to happen to him. So, in the Krishna Brahma Vimoga Leela, Brahmaji is praying. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.1. Do we have that? Okay. Doesn't matter. So, Brahmaji is there? Is it there? That verse? Oh, thank you. So 10.14.1 is Brahma's prayers to Lord Krishna. Let's read that. Lord Brahma said, "My dear Lord, you are the only worshipable Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore I offer my humble obeisances and prayers just to please you." Now please hear carefully what he says. He says, "O son of the king of cowherds." How is he addressing him? "O son of the king of cowherds, your transcendental body is dark blue like a new cloud. Your garment is brilliant like lightning, and the beauty of your face is enhanced by your gunja earrings and the peacock feather on your head. Wearing garlands of various forest flowers and leaves, and equipped with a herding stick, a buffalo horn and a flute, you stand beautifully with a morsel of food in your hand." This is the description which Brahmaji is giving. So, Lord Brahma has failed to understand who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead before this Leela. Why? Because initially when he saw Lord Krishna, what did Lord Krishna have on him? He is describing some of the things. When he saw Lord Krishna for the first time, he could not understand that this person can be Bhagavan. Why? Because it is mentioned in this verse that the Lord is looking like an ordinary person in this Leela. And Brahmaji is saying, how can you blame me for getting bewildered? So what is the Lord wearing now? Peacock feather. Yes. Before that, what was mentioned? The Lord is wearing gunja earrings. Now what is gunja earrings? When we say earrings, what kind of earrings and necklaces give prestige in society? What is that? Bulgari, right? Chopards and Bulgari and whatever. No? These are the brands, right? In jewelry. So he was not wearing any of these, right? He was wearing earrings made of berries, like that. Then, paripichcha lasan mukaya, which means he is wearing a peacock feather. Now, what is so opulent about a peacock feather from a materialistic point of view? A peacock feather is nothing but something which is shed by the peacock, and that is what he is wearing. He is wearing gunja earrings made of berries. On top of that, he is wearing a peacock feather. And then what is he having in hand? A morsel of curd rice. Right? Now that's not something very opulent. There's nothing opulent in having a curd rice. In India, for example, there's a lot of prestige attached to big hotels. So often on the cell phone, we will hear someone, I'll meet you at Oberoi Sheraton at 10:30. Yeah, tomorrow I have a dinner at Leela Kempinski. You know, so this is how people converse, to impress the other person. That, oh, this person must be a big man, looks like. You know, he is eating all these, he is eating in these big restaurants. But what does Lord Krishna have in his hand? Curd rice. You know, even for example, tomorrow when we go to office, what's the conversation going to be around? Whether Carlton 1 or whatever, you know, that Demons 1 or Saints 1 or whatever. That will be one conversation. The other conversation is who ate what in which restaurant during the weekend. And how, it's an excellent pub, mate. You know, too good, you know, and I had this wine and that, you know, some brand they'll talk about, you know. This is the conversation. And everyone is very proud that they had branded stuff like that. And Lord Krishna is having what in his hand? Curd rice. There is nothing very prestigious about having curd rice. Right? In fact, if we start, you know, if we announce in the temple also to the devotees, from tomorrow in the breakfast we'll be serving curd rice in the morning. Not many people will stay in the temple after 9 o'clock. Right? Assuming that they have already not fallen asleep in the lecture. Right? So there is nothing very attractive. So look at this. He is having gunjai, he is having peacock feather, and then he is having curd rice in his hand. On top of that, what is his instrument? He is not having a Yamaha keyboard or something like that. It is again very prestigious, or an electric guitar like Mark Knopfler. You know, he is not having all that. What is he having in his hand? He is having a buffalo horn, right? And a flute. Now, flute is not a very great instrument in India. You know, if you tell anyone, no, flute, he is like, ah, okay, train mein bajata hoga. He must be in the local train, he must be selling, you know. In local train, the fellow, you know, comes with the flute. Pee, 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 you know, he is going all around. You know? People buy it for 2 rupees and 3 rupees like that, okay? So it's not a very prestigious kind of a thing. Of course, when I came to Australia, I was told that in Aditya school, they teach flute. I said, flute we'll get from India, it will be cheap. So my wife explained to me, no, this is not that flute here. Here flute is costing how much? $800? Yeah. So I said, no, forget it, we'll learn some other instrument. So this is the flute here. So, but Lord Krishna had the Indian flute. Okay. So he had buffalo horn and flute. This is not, it doesn't, you know, generate very so much of respect if someone is carrying a flute and, you know, these kind of instruments. And he is carrying a stick in his hand. Okay. Now again, there is nothing great about carrying a stick in one's hand. In fact, in India, what's happening? The politicians nowadays, they are, you know, their respect goes up if they have bodyguards carrying AK-47 in their hand. So even if they are not, nobody is going to kill them, still they will engage bodyguards and pay them and tell them to come with AK-47 because my prestige will go up in society. Because people think I am a very important person, that others want to kill me. Like that. The prestige is going up, right? Because of such weapons around them. But Lord Krishna is having a stick in his hand, that's all, to hurt the cows. So if you see externally, there is nothing opulent in this. And therefore Lord Brahma is mentioning in this prayer, my dear Lord, you know, how can you blame me for not thinking that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead? I am not to blame. Look at yourself, you know, in that sense. What are you doing? You are the absolute truth. Right? It takes time for him to understand who this personality is. So that is why, now if you associate with, that's why Srila Prabhupada established opulence of Krishna. He is constantly stressing the opulence of Krishna. Otherwise, we will mistake him for an ordinary person. If Brahma can go wrong, who are you? Right? So, finally Brahma is asking him, what is your family? Pashu Pankajaya. What is family of? Cowherd. No, he is not coming from Ambani family or Birla family. Or I don't know, what is a great family in the West? Ford family. He is not coming from any of these families. He is coming from Pashu Pankajaya. So, how is it possible for me with all these features that I get attracted to you? So, Lord Brahma is saying, by looking at you, it's very difficult to get convinced you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By simply seeing your form, no one can figure out your power and your energies. That's what he's saying. So, the point here is, only when one develops the understanding of who Lord Krishna is, by understanding his energies, will one feel like serving him. We need some impetus. Especially in the neophyte stage, we need some incentive to go to Krishna. For example, when in Srila Prabhupada's pastime, there was one Mataji who used to come to meet him very often with her son. And Srila Prabhupada used to give him cookie. Right? So every time that son used to come, he used to say, cookie, cookie, like that. And Srila Prabhupada used to say, cookie. Okay. Now, I am very convinced of this example because the same example worked with my son also. You remember, Premnidhi Prabhu, every time, you know, you go to Chowpatty temple, he'll give him cookie. Like that. Aditya, your cookie is here. And Aditya will look forward to those cookies. Like that. So here the same principle, Prabhupada, it started with Prabhupada. Now I understand, he was following disciplic succession.
So Prabhupada is to keep the school case. So whether the child is attracted to Prabhupada for thinking that he is an Paramahamsa devotee or not, that is a different thing. But the child is attracted to cooking. So cookie. Oh, here is cookie. So in the initial stages, one has to make someone attracted through some other energy of Krishna. The prasadam is another energy of Lord Krishna. For a neophyte, that is very attractive. In the next verse, Lord Brahma is saying, you appear in this world out of your own free will. And when you appear as Lord Krishna, no one can understand your pastime unless they understand your potency. So that is, you know, re-emphasized here. And Brahmaji says, the greatest mistake I did was, I tried to understand your pastimes without understanding your potencies. So what should come first? Potency should come first and then pastime. That's why Srila Prabhupada has again and again emphasized that one must not directly go and read the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Unless we really understand who this personality is, the pores of his body from where millions and billions of universes are getting generated, unless we develop that reverential attitude towards the Lord, it is very premature to go into the realm of Raganuga Bhakti or spontaneous attraction out of love. So we have to go through this Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti and Pancharatri Vidhi and Bhagavad Dharma, and then eventually it will lead us to that stage. So if we prematurely try to understand his pastimes without his potencies, then there is the seed of offense and misjudgment is the risk that is associated with that approach. Now this is true not only for the Lord but also his devotees. Even his devotees should have to be approached with reverence, not very over familiar. Because devotees generally, you know, especially the Uttama Adhikaris, they behave very ordinarily, in a very ordinary manner. They don't have any hang-ups. For example, you know, next week His Holiness Vedvyas Priya Maharaj is going to come here. Now Vedvyas Priya Maharaj, you know, is if you see him, very very simple person. He'll play like a child, right? He speaks sometimes, you know, like a child. Of course, who is he? We should not. It's very easy to become over familiar with this kind of a person. But we have to understand that he is a Paramahamsa. He is Srila Prabhupada's one of the most, you know, empowered disciples. You know, and he is doing great things. But because he is behaving very normally with us, then we can take him for granted. Now, Srila Prabhupada had this experience. This was in Holland, when there was a temple opening in Holland. Now what was happening is, everyone had announced, okay, Hare Krishna temple opens in Holland. And there was a massive crowd to come and witness that function. Now what happened was, few minutes before the altar was going to be opened, everybody is waiting in anticipation. Okay. Now the deity is going to give darshan, right? They found out that there was some banging sound coming from inside. Okay. Now people are wondering, what is this going on? Some banging inside the altar. Srila Prabhupada was concerned. He said, find out what's going on there. So Srila Prabhupada went inside, and to his amazement, okay, he found out that the devotees were trying to, you know, push Lord Jagannath inside the altar. Because I think there was some measurement error and the altar height was small and Lord Jagannath was bigger. So they were trying to push the Lord inside like that. And Srila Prabhupada got wild, you know, with rage. Srila Prabhupada said, stop it! This is Lord Jagannath, don't deal with him like this. Right? But because the devotees had no knowledge at that time what to do. They were just pushing. Okay. And Srila Prabhupada said, you have to do something. Cut off some portion. Not of the deity, but of the altar. Because the devotees are arguing with Srila Prabhupada. But Prabhupada, this portion of the altar contains the most exquisite design. How can we cut it off? Srila Prabhupada said, just do what I say now. Cut it off. And put Lord Jagannath there. And Srila Prabhupada was fuming. Because the complete lack of organization there, right? So, now that was happening, and then somehow they cut off that piece from the top of the altar, and they opened the deity, the side door, and they were carrying it outside. Now, as they were carrying this outside, the people thought that, you know, this was, the function has already started, And this is all a part of that ceremony. Like that. So everyone was very happy. And then they told the photographer to go and photograph that. And photographer was roaming here and there. And Srila Prabhupada was further getting furious with this whole thing. Right? Srila Prabhupada was shouting at the devotees. Literally yelling. Like that. Now amidst all this, there was one hippie who was watching Srila Prabhupada. Right? So he walked up to Srila Prabhupada and told Prabhupada, please don't be angry. Just chant Hare Krishna. Now, this is called as not understanding who is the Paramahamsa. Over familiarity. He said, Tirupati ko bhi laddu de diya. You give laddu to the Lord itself in Tirupati. Laddu is a prasad from Tirupati, Balaji. We give laddu to him again. Like that. So whoever is teaching you the philosophy, you give him the philosophy back. Like that. So this over familiarity can happen if we don't understand who this personality is. So how to get this knowledge of Lord Krishna's energies? That's the final theme of our class today. How to understand this? Now, how did we understand about Sachin Tendulkar or Tom Cruise? How do we understand about these personalities? Who hypes them up? Their skill hypes them up. Okay. The kayaking champion of Mongolia also has got skills. Are you admiring him today?
Media.
You don't know who he is.
Media.
Exactly. Media. It's the media which is hyping up these personalities. If you actually see what is the game of cricket, which I also like very much. But still, what is the game? If you really go and start, it's a wooden ball which is made of some wood, and there is some stick which is there, and somebody is throwing that and somebody is hitting that, and all around that General Electric, Pepsi, Coke, right, all this Bulgari, everything is being sold under that name, right? Oh, Tendulkar is wearing Gucci glasses, okay, or he is wearing United Colors of Benetton shirt. Everything is being, the surrounding information around that is creating a hype about that. In a cricket tournament recently, the game is about cricket, but to promote that, literally they are engaging prostitutes from abroad who are dancing naked. It is called as IPL, and our people are mad after that. Okay, ladies who are skimpily clad who are dancing, they are just for the money. They are given money. Now that has got nothing to do with the game of cricket. But they are hyping it up. They know what media wants. What is one thing that runs the whole world? Lord Rishabhdev says, what is the most important thing that runs in that makes this world run? Sex desire. Pumsa striya mithuni bhava metam. So this attraction for man to woman and woman to man makes the whole world run. And all activities running on this basis. Right? So therefore it has got nothing to do with that game also. That game itself is an illusion. On top of that there is another illusion to create a hype about that game. So that is the power of media, which hypes these personalities up. And when someone sees a Coke bottle in that fellow's hand, then you think, oh, I should also drink Coke, so I am like that person. This is called an advertising. Right? Otherwise, there is nothing. It's a chemical which is put inside a bottle. And that chemical actually destroys our body. Right? They're drinking poison, but these great personalities sell us that poison. I don't know whether they themselves drink it or not. That's a different question. But they sell it anyway. Right? So, there has to be massive propagation of somebody's energies. Unless we do massive propagation of the energies, till that time we really cannot create awareness in the community about some great personality. The same principles apply to Krishna consciousness as well. So the more the time we spend in hearing, the more the time we spend in Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahatma Prabhu was yesterday mentioning about the A, B, C, D, right, of Krishna consciousness. The more the time we spend in association, Bhagavatam, chanting, eating prasadam and performing devotional life, and finally P is propagating, preaching or propagating. Remember you said that yesterday. Yeah? A, B, C, D, P. That propagation is extremely important. So by that we can develop attraction for Krishna. Otherwise simply seeing the deities will not. There are many temples in India where simply, you know, you go inside, you can see the deities. Half the time you can't even see the deities because the temples are so dark. Most of them don't even have funds for a bulb. So you can't see the Lord. So they have to take you inside.
Where is the Lord?
Exactly. Okay. And then they'll give you some teerth. And then you can put 10 rupees there. And they'll put some crown on your head. Like that. And then you'll come out. Oh, very nice. Nice darshan happened. Like that. That's all. Right? So there is nothing beyond that. And after you come back, then you want to rush back to watch the IPL. Right? So this is our consciousness. So nothing happens. No transformation happens simply by seeing that it is. So, shravanadi, chitta shuddhe karila udaya. One has to keep hearing about the glorious energies of the Lord. If we don't hear about His glories, then even seeing the person does not generate any attraction. Let's take an example. Let's say we have to introduce Devamrit Swami. You know, His Holiness Devamrit Swami is giving lecture. Will you simply say, today we are very happy, His Holiness Devamrit Swami will give class. Hare Krishna. Will you introduce like that in a boat cruise? How will you introduce? Here is His Holiness Devamrit Swami Maharaj. He has studied in Yale University. Yale University. Here is Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj. Studied in Princeton. Oh, Princeton University. Why? Maharaj, the person is a neophyte. He may not understand the potency of an Uttam Adhikari. But he knows what is Yale University. He knows what is Princeton University. So we introduce as such. So that is very important. Otherwise, then you know, mundane introduction, any introduction is not going to generate the same hype about the speaker. People will not understand. If you just say, oh, here is this Prabhuji who has come to Hare Krishna temple. Prabhuji has studied in school for many, many years. Right? After studying for many years, Prabhuji realized that one must not be too attached to the results, the fruits of one's activities. Therefore, Prabhuji decided to join Hare Krishna. Now he is trying his best here. He is thinking whether to stay or leave. But incidentally, today last class is there. Please come and attend. Now if you introduce speaker like this, what do you think will happen? People will say, we will come after Prashad. People will go. So there is no. So the propaganda has to be proper. We have to position the personality properly through understanding his energies. So seeing an object, nothing may happen. But propaganda molds opinions in society. So that is how the person has to be positioned. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita is introducing Lord Krishna as such. We talk about his energies constantly. Beyond his physical descriptions. Now, even when we do a class, for example, let's say Saturday or Sunday Bhagavad Gita class, Sunday evening Bhagavad Gita class, we rarely talk about Krishna's beauty in detail. You know, because it doesn't attract. For a neophyte person, you really, the attraction to Lord Krishna, certainly, you know, we can't say peacock feather and, buffalo horn. The person who is coming for a Sunday feast, he really can't link, associate with Krishna in that way. For him, Krishna has to be presented very differently. So Lord Krishna is the person who has given abilities to that footy player, whose poster you have in your house. So then you understand, oh, that footy player, what is that? Nathan Buckley of Collingwood. That fellow, he is getting his energy to kick the ball from Lord Krishna. So he is the source of that power. Oh, now I understand. Oh, Lord is greater than Nathan Buckley. Okay. They have to understand in that way. You can't present, oh, Lord is having Nayana peacock. They will not understand. Also, yeah, even Elizabeth Hurley also has got such some idea. Something like that they said. They can't understand this. Right. So we have to position the Lord through his energies. Simply describing the characteristics of a person is not enough. For example, if a speaker has to be introduced, you cannot say, okay, today so-and-so Prabhuji is giving class. He has got brown eyes. He has got medium build. His blood group is so-and-so, so-and-so. It sounds like a police description. Right? So we don't give that kind of a description about that person. So we have to talk about the energies of the person. So simply speaking to a new person about the physical attributes of the Lord may not really change the heart and develop, invoke that attraction of that person towards the Lord. So, the process which is given is that one has to
tune into Lord Krishna's energies through the process of hearing, and it takes some time. So therefore Rupa Goswami has given a very important verse in Nectar of Devotion, Atha Sri Krishna Nama Adi Na Bhaved Graham Indriyai Sevon Mukhehi Jivada Swayam Eva Spurati Adaha. So Atha Sri Krishna Nama Adi, Adi means etc, etc, etc. So one has to associate with the Lord's names, forms, pastimes, which is also what is mentioned, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning here. This association made possible not only by personal contact with the Lord, but also by his association with his name, form, fame, form and quality. Srimad Bhagavatam trains the conditioned soul to this stage of perfection by submissive hearing from the pure devotee. So the Lord has to be positioned like that, by constantly positioning him through the process of Srimad Bhagavatam, which will go through the holes of one's ears. So Srila Prabhupada was once in Portland, and in Portland, as he was driving, Srila Prabhupada witnessed a huge billboard. It was an ad on Coca-Cola, right? So it was written, the Coke bottle was shown, and below that it was written, everything tastes better with Coca-Cola. That was that. Everything tastes better with Coca-Cola. So Srila Prabhupada immediately instructed his disciple, why don't you call up this company and just ask them, don't do anything, just change the product name to Hare Krishna. So everything tastes better with Hare Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada was always in this mood of how to position this product of Krishna consciousness with society so that it will really hit, it will ring a bell in people's heart. So this is an art that one, a devotee has to develop by one's own sadhana and through one's own and applied in one's own preaching to attract people to the power of the Lord. And we see that when such an attraction happens, then this is the result. What is the result? All their hearts were melting for him on the pot of attraction. They looked at him without blinking their eyes, and they moved hither and thither in perplexity. So Srila Prabhupada was asked in a radio interview, why have you come to the US? So Srila Prabhupada said, to remind the Americans of what they have forgotten. And then Srila Prabhupada was asked, are you a messiah? Srila Prabhupada said, yes, I am a messiah. And the reporter asked him, has God sent you? So Srila Prabhupada said, my guru has sent me. So while positioning Lord Krishna, Srila Prabhupada positioned in such a way that all the time Lord Krishna is more prominent than him. He didn't say that God has sent me. The moment he said God has sent me, yes, God may, there's a chance God may be relegated to the background and the personality may come up. This is what is happening in Christianity today. Jesus is the only savior. But you ask them who is God, they don't know. Oh, Jesus is the savior. So what has happened? The personality has become very prominent. The Messiah has become prominent, but still people are not aware who is God. So Srila Prabhupada is very careful in how he responded to the media to such questions. So Srila Prabhupada then said that he met an Indian gentleman. Said, what are you doing here? So the Indian gentleman said, I have come here for higher prospects. And then he asked Srila Prabhupada, what are you doing here? Srila Prabhupada said, I have also come here for higher prospects. And finally, one more example of Srila Prabhupada when it comes to how to study, how to understand this knowledge of Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada once met an archaeologist. You know what archaeologists do, right? So Srila Prabhupada asked him, what do you do? So the archaeologist said, I study primitive people. So then the archaeologist asked Srila Prabhupada, what do you do? And Srila Prabhupada said, I study advanced people. So by that Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing that we have to study the lives of the acharyas, the saintly personalities, get an attraction from their personalities, understand the Lord's energies through the mouth of these personalities, thereby develop our attraction gradually for Lord Krishna, such that one day all of us can hope to reach this stage where our hearts will also melt with the pot of, on the pot of attraction. And we'll also start praying that why have you given these eyelids? Because when they close, for that moment we cannot see the Lord. It's a very advanced stage. But this, the process for getting to that stage is regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam A, B, C, D and P. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? That is why Srila Prabhupada said that one should not directly go and understand these pastimes of Krishna. One must understand the potencies of Krishna. Because the potencies cannot be imitated by anyone. Even if it breathes fast, universes are not going to come out. Right? From the body. So one has to go gradually. Directly jumping to 10th canto. That is why Srila Prabhupada, this is the Sahajiya mentality. So Sahajiyas are a product of directly, you know, are there because they directly go to the 10th canto. First of all, they listen from professional Bhagavatas. Professional Bhagavatas directly go to the 10th canto. Because their vani itself is not enough to generate attraction for Krishna, they need all the harmonium and, you know, all the violin and, you know, what not behind. 10 flunkies have to be behind them, you know, doing things for them. And only then some attraction they can develop for Krishna. And that too, they directly jump to the 10th canto. Now, I remember I used to attend one professional Bhagavata, two professional Bhagavata sessions, you know, when I was in, when we were in Toronto, right? And it was, the kirtans were mind-boggling, I can tell you. It was completely set on Bollywood theme, right? And because I have a natural interest in Bollywood, my constitutional position, right? So therefore my heart, you know, flew, you know, really melted when I heard those kirtans. But what did not happen was I never picked up the bead bag after that. So, the, you know, for example, there is a song which says, Radhe Radhe Japa Karo, Krishna Naam Ras Diya Karo. How does that sound? Oh, everybody is dancing. Radhe Radhe Japa Karo. Everybody is dancing. Krishna Naam Ras. But nobody is doing Japa after that. That is the problem. Everyone is saying, Radhe Radhe Japa Karo, Krishna Naam Ras Diya Karo. But after that, nobody is doing that activity. It is just restricted to the song. So, it's very exciting sitting in that forum, you know, and hearing all these things. But at the end of the day, there is no transformation that's happening. Nobody buys bead bag. Only people are buying cassettes. That's all. Right? Whereas in ISKCON, what happens? That kind of excellence sometimes may not be there in the quality of singing. But still at the end of the day, people still walk away with bead. Krishna Vanka Prabhu every week ensures that everyone is chanting. Right? So that is the power. So Prabhupada's movement has got genuinity. There may be imperfections in the externals. But, the, you know, it's like, again, you know, I think I mentioned this before. But once Gaurang Prabhu, my godbrother, was saying, ISKCON is like a hospital. The receptionist may not be sitting there. The fan may not be working. Right? But the medicine works in this hospital. In other places, everything else is pakka, but medicine will not work. There is no medicine anyway. There is no abhideya. There is no process. Right? So that is the power. I don't know whether I answered you or not. Dinesha, you had a point.
So you mentioned that one has to come to an understanding of understanding opulence of the law. So from the taste of his verses, we have to come to an understanding. Now, and also you mentioned that we approach the law first without reverence, otherwise we can, or we should have the reverence to the law. Now, approach the law, you want to give an example of the so one can only develop love when he knows about the person. Now this can also be start getting towards someone with fear. So this genuinity of developing the fear towards the person of the Lord himself, and then how does that convert into the love? So is that alone enough? So one has to just keep getting the mood of reverence.
Yeah. So, my godbrother is Grace Radhesham Prabhu. In his book, he writes that fear is not bad. It's in fact, if one has fear of God, that's the first stage. Most of mankind doesn't believe in God and therefore they don't have any fear. So, fear at least makes them respect the tenets of Varnashrama Dharma.
from a promiscuous life, one is suddenly moving into a regulated life, right? Under the Varnashrama Dharma. And yesterday in Bhakti Shastri we were seeing that, right? From no dharma, one is moving to Varnashrama Dharma. And from Varnashrama Dharma, one will move to Sanatana Dharma. Like that. Okay, so fear is not bad. Fear of God is not bad. But it's a very low level relationship with the Lord. The Lord, people usually worship with bhaya, fear. Or people will worship with asha. Asha means hope for material rewards. And then some will worship out of kartavya buddhi. Or out of duty. And then some will worship out of rati or love. So there is nothing wrong in developing a fear for the Lord in the initial stages. But if one reads Bhagavatam, what happens? Bhagavatam promises that by hearing Bhagavatam that fear will go away. Which is that verse? Eta nirvidyamananam ichchatam akuto bhayam. Akuto bhayam. That bhayam will go away. Yoginam nripa nirnitam harer nama anukirtanam. Chanting of the holy names of the Lord is the doubtless and fearless process. Like that. One need not fear. And when you read the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, very soon in Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord appears as Bhakta Vatsala. Right? So when a devotee actually indulges in studying Srimad Bhagavatam, the devotee will understand that Lord Krishna actually is my protector. Not that he is going to, he is not behind my back. Oh, you didn't do this, come on, I'll pierce your eyes. You know, with charcoal or something, you know. It's not that kind. That is a very neophyte understanding. And there are certain bogus philosophies also which propound that you know, the Lord stands on the judgment with the sword in his hand and thy shall be punished. No. Oh, that is, but the Lord doesn't have to do all those things. The Lord has kept Yamaraj for that. Yes, that punishment is there. But that is for the demonic people. The Lord is not a Nirashavadi. You know, or a, what is that? What is in English you say? He's not a sadist who is waiting there. Oh, let me catch this fellow and see how to make him suffer. So that this fellow realizes time and again who I am. Not like that. He loves us. The relationship of Krishna with his devotees is love. And that love he shows very soon in the form of protecting his devotees as in the form of Bhakta Vatsala. So that systematic study is required. If you only understand half features of Lord Krishna, that how he tore, you know, Hiranyakashipu's stomach, then obviously, you know, people will get jittery. Whenever they say Narasimhadev, you know, in childhood I was very afraid of Narasimhadev. You know, whenever I heard about Narasimhadev, you know, From people who are not really pakka devotees, I developed a fear. Oh my God, he'll tear my stomach like this. So I said, no. Narasimhadev, please don't come my way at this. Like that. But today what we say, Narasimhadev, please enter our heart. Like that. Because we understand what is the context of those pastimes. Right? So, the goal itself is defined as such. The goal of Vaikuntha devotees is Vaikuntha. The goal of Golok devotees is Goloka. And Lord says, the mood in which you worship, and that so will you attain. Like that. So, the Sri Sampradaya worshippers, for example, their goal itself is Vaikuntha and they are happy in that. Why they are happy in that? Because that is their constitutional position. So, eventually, by following the process of bhakti, eventually one will realize one's constitutional position. So that in our swarup itself, it is inside us that how we want to serve Krishna, that is inside us. Just by the process of anartha nivritti, that layer of contamination is cleaned up. And once that happens, then we are established in our original relationship. That original relationship could be a servant of Lord Narayana in Vaikuntha, or it could be a manjari in Goloka Vrindavan, like that. So it's one and the same. So the goal can be anything. It can be any of the Vaikuntha planets. For example, Hanuman's goal was Lord Ram, Murari Gupta. Even when Mahaprabhu showed him the form of Lord Krishna, he said, everything is fine, Lord Chaitanya, but every time I close my eyes, that form of Ram, Lakshman and Janaki, I cannot take out from my heart. So Lord Chaitanya said, you are the real Ram Bhakta. Look behind you, there is a tail. You are Hanuman, he said. And he looked behind and there was a tail. like that. Okay. So at the, it's not that only Golok Vrindavan is the Prayojana. Prayojana can be any of the Vaikuntha planets. Okay, we'll stop here because it's 9:10. Srila Prabhupada ki
Jai Shri Mataji ki
Jai Jai Hind.